This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com.
Hi. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. It is Wednesday, Memphis Madness Day, October 13th. Hope everyone's having a pleasant one so far. We will be talking madness. That is tonight down at FedEx Forum. Just a week from Sunday, Tigers will be playing their first exhibition against Lemoyne Owen and Coach Bonzi Wells.
Wow.
A reminder that the season is just around the corner, even with the IARP cloud. Close, not close. We'll see. Something's going to be in the crowd tonight. It's going to remind me of how old I have gotten, just how old I have gotten. Number one player in the class of 2023, DeJuan Wagner Jr. It was 2002 that his father was, what, averaging about 21? John remembers it well. It's when he first became a Tiger fan, wasn't it?
Just before.
Or was that a little later, earlier, wasn't
yep.
it? That was a little later. Averaging 21 points.
Off.
Oh, I knew. Because the man you fell in love with first, we all know, was Burks.
That's right, Hustler.
It was Antonio Burks.
That's
well,
right.
Well, DeJuan Wagner, a couple of years earlier, was averaging 21 and then going number 6 in the draft.
Tell me
His
about,
son will be in the building.
Tell me about DeJuan, Grandpa.
He was a scorer, son. I guess I should say grandson.
Yeah, you're old enough to be a grandfather at this point.
Man, stop.
It is amazing, though, like, you look up and like
that the son's playing.
Dwayne Wade's son is now in his organization, and LeBron's son is about to be in college, and so is DeJuan Wagner's son.
The crazy thing we'll see was Milt was around then. Remember mm-hmm. on the staff for when Juan was here. Now everybody knows that. Well, at least right now that Junior is considered a heavy Kentucky lean and has been for some time. Going to mm-hmm. play for the man his father played for in college, Cal, over at Kentucky, but. I'll tell you what, you never count out Penny Hardaway in a recruiting battle.
Very true,
so
yeah.
You like to have him in the building, number one player for the class of 2023. DeJuan Wagner Jr. in town. So I think Zagoria had that.
Yes. Well, what's interesting is that we actually mentioned his name. We were talking about this maybe in August as Jalen and Imani were committing, and we mentioned Wani's name in particular, DJ, I think is what he goes by, because we said that if you're Penny Hardaway and you're taking advantage of the new landscape, there's nobody in this country you feel like you can't get.
You said, why not go?
Why not go?
Give it a shot.
And you know, guilt trip DeJuan a little bit. Hey, man, you played here. You don't want to send your kid to Kentucky. Man, you played in Memphis, bro. Mm-hmm. Now, who knows if that will resonate. It's been a long time. And, you know, DeJuan has not been a guy who's, like, come back, right? He's not been a guy who has, you know, been in the community, really. Like, he's kind of been in the shadows ever since
New Jersey guy.
Yeah, and so long shot, but anytime you get a kid on campus, once upon a time, Jalen Durham was considered a long shot. Then he took a visit to Memphis, and everything changed. So
very true.
We will get into that today. Memphis Madness, of course, is going on down at FedEx Forum tonight. We'll talk about that. Mark Giannotto will be on the show at 11:25 like he is every Wednesday. We'll get his thoughts on Memphis, where they were picked. Other things going on in the Memphis sports world. Why Dylan everybody
Brooks.
Be lying. Why you always lying. It don't matter who it is.
I mean, Harrington says that they weren't purposely misleading anyone.
Oh, sure.
About, you know, with the thigh and then now he's going to miss.
Yeah, but I'm saying, though, like
2 to 3 weeks with the hand.
Dylan came on our show on media day and said he was good.
Yeah.
So, like, what? right?
Let Harrington tell us the doctors have slowed things down. I'm with you. We've been led astray so much on injuries around
We've
here.
We've been bamboozled.
Seems to be a recurring
led
theme.
Astray, run amok. Mm-hmm. Okay?
All right, Malcolm.
By every coach.
You can't quote Malcolm.
And every – that was Stephen A. That's how I – that's
Well,
how,
he's quoting Malcolm
yeah.
as well.
Well, again –
you got to know where it originally comes from.
Yeah, well
– But go, yeah,
Stephen
go
a,
right ahead.
My hero.
Of
right.
course, of course.
And so anyway, we'll get into all of that with Mark Giannino. Dylan Brooks not going to be available for the first 2-3 weeks.
That slows you down out of the gate.
Yeah, buddy.
Especially defensively.
Well, you're a three-legged horse now. You know, that's going to hurt. Dylan Brooks is a big-time piece for them.
Three-legged horse.
Yeah, you come out of the gate, you know, you kind of, you know, the
I guess Dylan's a leg.
Dylan's
he is
100%
now.
A leg.
What he graduated to by the time playoffs rolled
That's,
around.
I mean, you lose.
Now he started slow last year. Remember, like he's a slow starter.
Yes. But I mean, I think we were going to get a different Dylan this year. I really do.
I'm just ready to see what he's going to do defensively.
Anyway, so we'll get into all of that
in.
With Mark Giannino at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Matt Babcock is going to join us. Matt Babcock used to be the agent for Chris Crawford and DJ Stephens, to name a few. Now he's doing NBA draft analyst work over at Basketball News. He was in town last week for Memphis' Pro Day, both days, saw it all, has a write-up pretty much on every player on the team.
Thoroughly enjoyed the hospitality and food as well. He
yes. Well, I yes.
And we appreciate Matt for that.
Absolutely. So we will talk to Matt Babcock, get his thoughts on this Memphis roster, the talent, and more at 1:25. So that is the show today. Looking forward to it. But we have some items that we need to address first. Preseason polls are out, and this has not been typically a great day in the annals of history for Memphis basketball because, as has always been the case with Penny, since he's been at Memphis, these Tigers have been disrespected. These Tigers have been disrespected by the coaches in this league, not given enough credit, looked over, underestimated. This is what the coaches in this league do. And once again, it has happened.
Disrespect, he says.
Disrespect has been levied upon this Memphis basketball program once again, and I'm not even surprised. I knew this would happen because it's just the way things go in Memphis. But Memphis, despite having 4 times the amount of first and second teamers in the preseason in this league, let me repeat that. Despite having 4 times as many first and second teamers in this league, Memphis has been picked to finish behind Houston in the American Athletic Conference. This, of course, this is the coaches, right?
By the coaches. By the coaches.
This is not the media. This is the coaches.
Correct.
And it was not particularly even close. I believe the year of the freshmen, were they not tied for first?
That sounds right. I don't have it pulled up, but I want to say co-favorite. That sounds right.
So this roster getting even less respect than that one by the coaches in the preseason. And when we put it like that, it is a bit mystifying. I
mean, you could
respect.
Say Houston got 98 total points. You're right. The first place votes weren't close, but Houston did get 98 total points. Memphis got 92. So if you wanted to make a case that it was decently close for the overall, you could. But the first place votes tell you everything you.
That's what this is about.
What, 8-3?
Correct.
Yes.
In the end, you know, the Electoral College. That's what matters. And
are you really going to get yourself up in a tizzy about this?
Yes, I think it is incredibly disrespectful to Penny Hardaway in this program. Yes, I do. I do. I think it's ridiculous. I think Memphis, look, if you want to give Houston credit, I understand completely. Kelvin Sampson, I love him. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a terrific coach. What he has built at Houston, they were in the Final Four last year, right?
Respect.
I give him a respect burger every day of the week. I think he is
great.
And publicly, at least, he has been an advocate of Penny Hardaway. You know, this has not been some sort of sour grapes deal on the part of Kelvin Sampson.
I almost think he's come around
and
made a point to say how highly he thinks of the program and the job that Penny Hardaway is doing.
But to the extent.
Whereas at first it was, you got to coach your players. You know?
Right. I think he had to earn that from Kelvin.
You might have talent, but you still got to coach the players. Remember that tone early on?
Yep.
I think he's won Kelvin and others over.
And
that's another reason I tip my cap to Kelvin.
Yes.
And been the old hard ass that, that type of thing's not going to work.
Look, I'm not mad at Kelvin Sampson, okay? I'm not mad at him at all. I think he's doing a great job at Houston, and he's going to have that team competitive even when they go to the Big 12.
Well, that is the problem that he's leaving, right? I mean, come on.
Yes.
You'd love to. We might talk about the respect he gets and how – what it leads to is a lack of respect or a disrespect, if you want to categorize
it
as that. For
Memphis disrespected in the preseason poll.
For Memphis, but we're going to be sad to see him go. And Houston, anytime that change is over, like there's no guarantee if he hands it over to his son, which seems to be the plan, that it's going to go like it's gone with his father. The point is, he's been good for Memphis because he's good for the AAC, which in turn's helped you. And last year you come within a possession twice of beating him. But no, I've tipped my cap to Kelvin. And go ahead. I want all the disrespect out. I want you to get it all out and vent.
Yeah.
Four first and second teamers. Houston only has one.
End of story.
Memphis will
end of discussion.
We don't have it in front of us, but Memphis will likely be ranked, as you've pointed out,
ahead of Houston
in the preseason poll.
Yes.
Right. So likely the voters and certainly the
Memphis
folks like Parrish and them
seem to get that. Preseason rookie of the year in Jalen Duren.
Right.
Yet they.
Some didn't come around until the final edition of Imani Bates, though, right?
Oh, sure.
At one point, Memphis around 17, Houston's higher. I think Parrish is the example of that.
Look, I can absolutely.
And then Imani pushed you over the top with some.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think that's fair.
That's why I'm trying to gauge this level of disrespect and how good a case you can make here.
Logically, how can you say that a team that has four times as many first and second teamers, they're going to be ranked higher in the preseason, and they have the preseason rookie of the year, and by the way, they have a 25-year-old on the roster.
Right.
They have a first teamer returning from last season in Landers Nolley II. How can you logically put that team behind a team that is having to replace a NBA first-round draft pick, a team that did lose one of its better players mid-year? Now, they adjusted, right? But we don't know. We don't know. This is a new-look team for Houston yet again. Sasser's coming back, but they are going to have to adjust some things. And so, to me, it's we know what we saw from Memphis last year. Majority of that team, or a big part of it, Lester, DeAndre.
Absolutely.
Those guys are back. And you're adding, you're infusing, you know, a first-teamer, preseason rookie of the year in Jalen Duren, and a second-teamer in Imani Bates. How can you logically say that that team is going to be behind Houston? In no other metric will Memphis in the preseason be behind Houston than this AAC preseason poll. So, therefore, I think it is stupid. This is what they do. It's symptomatic. They do this every single year. They disrespect Memphis in the poll. Now, they did get love with the players individually. A lot of love with the players.
No disrespect there, it seemed. Landers gets his respect coming back as a first-teamer after finishing his one last year.
But that's what boggles my mind. That's what boggles. You get so much love individually, so you just don't think it's going to come together as a team? Is that what you're getting at here?
No. Okay. That is the perfect case to make, and that is what will be on the, you know, on the bulletin board over at Memphis if I'm those coaches.
Kelvin Sampson said he's doing a conference call now.
He said Memphis should be one.
He says he was surprised they were voted preseason number one considering the players that they lost, and it's true. They should not have been voted number one.
You put all that up on the bulletin board, and that's all fine and dandy. It's right. But remember who voted on it. It was the coaches. And what the coaches are doing now is what those old, you know, most of those guys, they're old school. And it's what they do every time. It's the tip of the cap to the, not just the returning AAC champ, right, the team that's sort of, that's been the, let's face it, that's been the cream of the crop in the AAC for the last couple of years now. I know we can say Wichita State won the regular season last year, but let's be real. Houston's the one that made the deepest push, makes a Final Four. You're getting the tip of the cap for that. Kelvin Sampson is the one here getting the tip of the cap from his peers.
Agreed.
The coaches clearly know, as evidenced by how those teams are laid out, that Memphis has more talent. They're giving Kelvin Sampson the tip of the cap here because he made a Final Four last year, and I would tell you you're playing perfectly into Memphis's hands. So rather than getting fired up about it, which they're going to try to do with their players, you're going to use any motivation you can.
Oh, I'm fired up about it.
You look at it as, man, this is perfect for Memphis because, okay, yes, the talent's recognized, but they still think Houston's better than you. I mean, that's what they're going to tell their kids. And it's the perfect motivational tactic for that. I mean, we could sit here and go, well, like, you know, slam our hand into the table and go, man, can't believe Memphis. But Penny coming off an NIT, right? Houston coming off a Final Four. All this is a tip of the cap to what Houston's done the last couple. And to the coach that Kelvin Sampson is, which I get your case is perfectly laid out, and you could make a case. If you want to get mad, you can.
I am.
But I understand it, and frankly, I think it plays right into Penny's hands. I really do. You know, making them second going into this year, it's the perfect sort of, you know, medicine to go in to say, okay, well, not everybody's got you right at the top. You know, here's the coaches in the AAC, as you say, disrespecting you. You played right into Memphis'
hands. I didn't even mention Dejon Giroux. I mean, they lost their point guard.
Yeah, I saw him in the summer league.
Yeah, I mean, so I know they added some guys, right? They added the Kyler Edwards kid from Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it's never a bad bet.
They still got Tremont Mark, who hit the shot. Like, Tremont Mark's
they got
coming
Tremont
up.
Mark
I was actually surprised he wasn't on the
Sasser.
Second team.
That's what they have.
Sasser's good.
But, I mean, Tremont Mark averaged 8 points a game last year.
He'll average more than that.
He will.
You know,
no, you're
year,
right. I mean, look, it's never.
He had guys that guards ahead of him last year.
It's never a bad bet to bet on the system at Houston, okay? I understand that completely.
Like
we are talking about
the points are 98 to 92 here. It's not like it's just, you know,
but I'm more focused on the 8 to the 3.
I understand, and that's you got to focus on the coaches. It's old school. They're tipping their cap to Kelvin, the guy that went to a Final Four last year. That's all this is, and it's perfect for Memphis. Now, again, those will say, there are plenty of listening right now, said, John's right, it's disrespect, but you got to remember, too, you ain't got nothing except an NIT title. You know, you don't have what Houston's got right now, which is that built-up credibility in terms of being a team that's constantly in that tournament. He's got that right now, and I think, frankly, he deserves it. I got no problem with it.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Frankly, I think you messed up. You messed up as coaches, giving them easy bulletin board material.
You done
they're
messed
go,
up, Craig.
They're
going
to go out and eat this
you
conference
up. You done messed up, Craig.
Yeah. You done gave them four, which it's so obvious. You got gave them four players on first and second team, but still made them second. This is easy bulletin board material.
It is stupid.
I think you've played. So I'm more like, oh, man, they didn't give them what they really needed right now, as opposed to I'm going to sit up here and get mad. Let the player.
Kelvin Sampson says we're not a very good team right now. Now, that's obviously coach.
Man, that man underselling.
But, yes, that's
what he does.
Again, it's going to be Memphis and Houston, no questions asked.
Of course it is.
I am not naive enough or dumb enough to think that Houston is not going to have a very good year in basketball.
Do you feel disrespected that Tyson Etienne is the preseason player of the year?
No, I don't, because I think one of the things that's going to work against Memphis this season is the balance. There's not just one guy that will emerge on this roster in terms of like a far and away leading scorer, whereas with Tyson Etienne, he will be for them. Like, he'll average probably 18 a game, 16, 18 a game for Wichita State. And they'll probably be top three place team in the American. So
third as well.
Yeah. I could absolutely.
And that where they were picked.
Justify
as well.
That. Yeah. No, I'm not.
SMU was actually picked third, looks like.
Yeah. So, but again, they have a chance. They'll have a chance to finish in the top three.
I'm telling you right now, and I'm sticking to it, Jalen Duren going to win Conference Player of the Year.
Conference Player of the Year.
Yep.
Marked and membered.
When it's all said and done. And you're right about the points. It won't be him averaging 20. It'll be him averaging more like probably 12 or 13, a ton of it on putbacks and stickbacks. But you know what's going to be with it? Feels like 8 to 10 rebounds. And that will be consistent enough. And look where he's positioned already. They've already got him on first team all preseason. You know, we could talk about that, Imani being on second team and Jalen. I think that's because the coaches know that Jalen Duren's going to dominate this league, that he's a man already in terms of his physical build. This won't. You know, yeah, sure, he's 17 like Musa was reclassified, but this is different physically. And I'm not telling you he's just going to go out there and dominate from tip to buzzer, because clearly motor's been an issue. Sometimes, you know, sometimes he has a tendency with that size to just disappear. That's one of the things that scouts and everything else have talked about. But because he's going to be so consistently dominant in this league, and because the Tigers, as you just point out, are going to win it, you're going to be trying to pick the Conference Player of the Year off that Memphis team, and it's going to probably be Jalen Duren. I mean, you made an argument that it could be, you know, Lester could be Imani because of the usage rates, and theirs will be higher, certainly Imani's will, than Jalen Duren. But brother, I'm telling you right now, nothing's going to be able to stop him in this league, and those coaches know it, and that's why he's on first team.
Lester Quinones has tweeted out two sleeping emojis.
It's good.
So they've noticed. They obviously are taking notice of this.
This is the perfect thing they need. For a team that you've already going to have literally ranked ahead of Houston in the preseason polls, you've put second. It's like, oh, man, you've made it easy for Penny and for that coaching staff.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
You know, over at WinBet, it's interesting. I was just looking for, because my plan is to, whenever I can, wherever I can, my plan is to bet Memphis to win the league, because I just think they're going to win the I think this is their year. I think it has to be. You know, Houston at some point, they have been replacing big-time guys. Whether, I mean, you got to go back to all the way to Josh Gray.
Another tip of the cap to Kelvin, yeah.
Rob Gray.
Rob.
And then Corey Davis. And then they lost Caleb Mills. And then they're having to replace Dejan Giroux and Quinn Grimes. Like, I just feel like
lose Caleb Mills, go to the Final Four.
Yeah, at some point, there is going to be an off season. And I don't mean off in the sense of, like, they're going to miss the tournament, but just, like, you're not as elite as you have been. And so I feel like that has to be this season. So whenever I can, I plan to put in a futures bet on Memphis winning the AAC. But in sort of trying to find that, I did find the win total, which I have not seen anywhere else. I found a win total for the entire season, not just regular season, but postseason. And the number at WinBet is 31. Now, this includes postseason, but they have Memphis at WinBet at 31 total victories.
Mm.
That includes postseason.
Yeah, that's still a high number.
It's a very high number. And I don't know what Houston's is, but I got to believe it ain't friggin' 31. There's no way it's 31, which, again, just goes back to, like, why was he, you know, I guess these coaches, right? But it just doesn't really make logical sense right now.
I mean, if you're betting that they'll go over 31 games, you're 31 wins, you're basically betting, assuming that they're going to make the Sweet 16, because that's going to matter. You know, you figure this team's going to have three conference tournament wins, should, if you're projecting.
Houston's 27.
Good enough to win? Houston's 27?
Their win total is 27.
I mean, there you go again. Most folks think this Memphis team's going to be
better. I would go under that, by the way.
This is so obviously a tip of the cap to Kelvin Sampson. It's perfect for Memphis. But that's a lot of wins.
It's up there for the most in the country,
and
by
this,
the way.
This will matter. Right now, Memphis has 30 games scheduled. There was some talk Memphis was trying to add one more. Remember, they played 31 regular seasons games for as far back as I can remember, certainly for the 6 years that I covered it. And this year, it's right now, it's still sitting on 30. It's the 18 conference, sure, set them to the side. It's the 12 non-cons right now. Usually there's 13.
Yep.
Now, there was some talk, and I haven't checked in on this lately. Somebody probably way ahead of me here should be, I would imagine. There was some talk. Memphis couldn't get that big one it wanted to add, so they were just going to go add a bye game to get back to 13. But get to this point of 31 wins or not? Well, if you got 31 regular season wins and looking for 31 season wins, and you're adding one more game,
that would absolutely help.
It's going to matter.
Yes.
I mean, you're talking about the difference maybe of 28-3 or
that's a guaranteed win,
or 27-3, right?
Yep.
Especially adding it as a bye, so that would actually matter here. And you know, I haven't heard from them lately, or asked, you know, whether or not that's done, and they're sticking with what they've got with just the 12 and then the 18 conference, and 30 is what it is, because that would matter in terms of trying to assess whether or not they'll get to 31. That's an easy extra victory there that could matter in the end. You're talking about the difference between, you know, finishing in the first, having to finish in the first round of the NCAA tournament to get there, that 31, or, you know, having to maybe go second round to get there, you know, with that extra victory.
Yeah,
we'll see. We need to get the update on that.
Yeah, so that's the plan.
Done.
But you know, maybe the coaches get you a little bit more value on that. I do think it's a great opportunity to buy low on Amani Bates as a second teamer. I think he is. I'm still high on him.
What you betting? What you buying low on? Everybody loves Amani.
Well,
Bates.
He kind of had a tough pro day, right? Not a tough pro day, but like he was not the story coming out of pro day. Bad measurables, people said.
So do you think that's why he's second team, and that's why Jalen Duren's first team because of the pro day stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, well, not just the pro day stuff, but like you were hearing a lot of hype about Jalen Duren anyway the last 3 or 4 weeks. And so I think absolutely and I think he's deserving of that. I mean, we saw Jalen. He's a massive human being.
You don't think it's because folks know Jalen will be just more physically dominant. It'll take a little bit more in terms of Amani. Most of the scouts have said, I think even Babcock, who we have it on 125, is that strength is going
to
be Amani's issue.
Well, I was talking
it will
to somebody,
not be the issue for Duren.
I was talking to somebody last week after Pro Day, and they said that they would not be surprised at all if Amani averaged 6 points a game next season. Now, I thought that
ain't no way.
Blasphemous.
It was.
Blasphemous.
That was obviously somebody who was down on what they saw.
But I don't see that at all. I see a stud. I see a guy who's going to score the ball at will. So I think it's a great opportunity to buy low on Amani Bates, all the stuff that you've heard coming out of Pro Day, being on the second team. I think he's a first team guy. I think he's I think he's a freshman of the year type guy, rookie of the year type guy. And, you will see that, but you know, for the time being, Memphis not getting much love in the way of championship love for the AAC. They're going to have to go out there and they're going to have to prove it, which is nothing new.
I'll take the four on the, you know, first and second teams. Jalen Duren was what, newcomer, at least freshman of the year, preseason. I think you're playing right into Memphis' hands. I'll take it all day long.
True to it, not new to it. That's the way it goes for Memphis. We'll come back. We'll talk to Mark Giannotto about all of this, get his thoughts on the situation and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Mark Giannotto is a sports columnist over at the Commercial Appeal. Catch him on Giannotto and Jeffrey every afternoon here on 92.9. He joins us every Wednesday. He joins us now. If you were a coach in the AAC and you had a vote, what would have been your top two in the AAC preseason poll?
What? Oh, in order. Not yes. Just I can't just get
no,
away
no,
with
no,
saying
no.
Houston and
order.
Memphis here.
No, I need your order.
So it's interesting you bring that up because for the USA Today network that, you know, that the Gannett owns the Commercial Appeal, but they asked Jason Munns to put together like an AAC preview for the country. And in, as part of that, he was had to pick, do predicted order of finish and all just like this, an all AAC team. And so he was asking me like what he would do. And well, my advice to him as the beat writer was, he was trying to pick, he was like, what players do I put on the all AAC first team for Memphis and for, you know, for Memphis, like which guys, because it's kind of hard to pick,
right.
Ultimately. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's the beat writer, just so you don't tick anyone off. I would actually call Memphis and say, which guy, you're going to get this many guys on first and second team. And which guys do you want it to be? But I was, you know, but then he also asked me, should I put them first? Cause he had done a polling of beat right. He did a story, I want to say a month ago, month and a half ago, where he got a media member in every market of the AAC, like a media member that covers one a team in the AAC in each market, and did this with them for predicted order finish. And Houston was also picked first by those that collection of media over Memphis, and I think it's for the same reason. It's
yep.
Kelvin Sampson.
Which is never a bad answer. I mean, I acknowledge that.
So I told him when he asked me this that I think if I had to do it in October, I would have done what the coaches did, because I think there is a sense of when you're doing these preseason media polls, just like Tyson Etienne getting player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He was the co-player of the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. So you give him preseason player of the year. And with Houston, they've won the league so many times. They've won it 2-3 years in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years ago, they didn't return a lot of guys either. And we're still the best team in the league. And the other part of it is their success. While, yes, like Quentin Grimes, probably the best player Kelvin's had during his run at Houston in terms of talent. He was a
first-round
pick. For the most part, his success is not based off having like an overwhelming amount of talent. It's a formula. Their best offense, even last year, was to miss a shot and just get the rebound. And so I think I would have probably picked Houston to win the league too.
But I think
I think It's weird because I think Memphis has a better shot at winning the league.
Exactly.
Because their ceiling is higher than this Houston team.
Of course they do. Now, who'd you have on your, when you told Munns who's on your first team and who, here's who he should pick, who'd you tell him?
So I would have flipped. It seems like the coaches felt like Jalen is going to be the best freshman
Let's
on the team.
Let's get into this, yes.
And I think that that could be true in terms of like importance to the team. I do think in terms of like statistics, you know, like put your typical points, you know, points, assists, whatever. It feels like Amani's got the more better potential
for
statistics.
That's where he is. That's where he is. In terms of points, particularly.
But I could see where impact and importance to the team.
I agree completely.
I could see Jalen being a more important player to this team's success.
But you got to have both, right? You got to have both. Mm-hmm. You got to have the tangible impact, and then you could, you know, then you got to have the stuff
like
that's
you got like is, you know, is if Jalen Duren averages, let's say, 10 points and 10 rebounds a game, like, I mean, I guess that could be player of the year, but
he's going to have two blocks a game, right?
It's for the number one team in the league, especially. That's the other part about this is you got to.
Because typically this has gone, because again, they give it. The media doesn't vote on this stuff in the AAC. It's always the coaches. The preseason and the postseason awards are voted on by the coaches. And since I've been covering the AAC, it does typically go
unless
to the best
John
player on
out,
the best team.
Unless, as John pointed out, it's overwhelming.
Yes.
Your precious.
Like I covered.
Right, they were fifth, apparently.
I covered a Virginia Tech team where Eric Green was the player of the year in the ACC, and Virginia Tech finished last in the league. So it happens, like
right.
You know.
You said precious, they were fifth that year?
They were fifth in the standings that year.
Yeah. No, and
so it has happened, but I'm with, usually it's going to, even if there's some evenness among the statistical, you know, output of your team, still, if you're the best team hands down, usually they're going to pick somebody off.
So I probably would have had Amani first team and the rookie of the year. And then I would have had, I would have had DeAndre Williams as the other first team.
I can entertain that. I mean, I think he should get like the seniority, right? I mean, he's a senior.
Oh, but I think not Landers, not a guy who was first team, finished the year first team last year, is the tip of the cap thing again?
Mark's just not very high on Landers.
But not to Landers, who was first team All AAC last year?
I just think Landers going to be the. I don't know if he's always going to be the sixth man on this team, but the sense I get is that they want him to be the sixth man on
Absolutely.
This team, and that's how it'll eventually settle out.
No, his role will change. You know, even it changed already from Virginia Tech to Memphis the first season, and it's going to change again. It's going to have to.
Well, and I think if he want like for him to take the amount of shots I think he wants to take, I think it's better for him to be the sixth.
Exactly. It's like what we said the whole time: come in and just be the dude on the second unit. You know, and you can play. And again, DJ Jeffries played 26 minutes a game last year, so you're not going to really feel the difference.
Well, and I don't know if he's the dude on that second unit. Like, if you watch Landers last year, when he's at his, I think he's best suited having, like, he can create, but, like, he's best when someone is creating shots for him in a way. Like, he's a spot-up guy at. He's not a true spot up guy because he can do. That would be discrediting
his
game.
Skill, though.
Yes. And
point.
I think it's the way he could help this team the most. Like, I think when we watched this offense in previous years, one thing when they've struggled that they've lacked, it's not necessarily generating an open shot. Sometimes the shots are a little more difficult than they need to be. But, like, they haven't had a lot of shot makers. Last year when they went on their run, those guys started hitting shots. Like, DJ was hitting shots in the NIT. Lester ended up, you know, after his freshman year, was almost a 40% three-point shooter, was starting to hit shots. Landers was hitting shots. Boogie, when he was rolling, was hit. Like, and this team, they lost two of those guys. So Landers, I think, is going to be one of the, you know, shot makers for this team. But I think he needs, like, a creator on the floor with him, whether it's Amani or maybe Alo. Like someone like that, I think that's where he's going to be his best.
But going back to Jalen, would you buy a scenario or a narrative, however you want to put it, a picture where because of the physical difference between the two, right? You figure the curve, at least from a physical, you know, physicality standpoint, and learning to play through it, right, is going to be a little less steep for Jalen Duren, and so a case where he is the most consistently dominant guy. That it's a little less up and down for him than it will be for Imani, who might struggle on some nights because of the the lack of strength, as some of these scouts have pointed out. I think from that standpoint, Jalen will be a little bit more consistent. There'll be more double-doubles. And if they're the best team in the league, you'll say, okay, well, that's, and I think these coaches sort of see it. He'll be the most physical thing in the league.
Yeah, and yeah, to
even
your,
though they're the
to
same
your point,
age.
There are not going to be many nights in the AAC where Jalen Dern,
that's what I see,
is running up against someone who can physically match him.
Right.
There's like, and I don't, you know, like maybe against Houston, like Fabian White, like he's not as talented as Jalen Dern, but physically could maybe match up with him.
Right. And some nights, even bad nights, you can get more because of the offensive rebounding ability. You can, you know, more stick backs. He can have off nights and still put up numbers. You know?
No, I could. Here's what I would say.
I think that's the way it's going to
be. Amani Bates. Yeah, I think Amani Bates has the higher ceiling of the two this year because he could put up huge numbers. I think if you're going, who's more likely to have a great freshman year? I think you're right.
I think that's why it could be Jalen.
I think that's why they tipped the cap for him.
Yeah, on freshman of the year preseason.
It's a really difficult decision.
Both are like top five picks possibly the next 2 years.
Yeah, with the players, even with like Houston and Memphis, you know, I'm like reconsidering it because I feel like ultimately I think the only reason I would be picking Houston is like respecting Kelvin Sampson and what they've done. Whereas
his peers doing that.
Whereas if I truly am to go, who do I think is going to win the league? I think it's Memphis because I agree. What Kelvin Sampson's saying today, that he's surprised they were picked first, we're not any good, whatever, like, that's all, like, whatever. He's saying that to say that in a lot of ways. I do think it's a reflection that this is not going to be like a two-seed Houston team. This is going to be more like has to get it together, but by the end of the year, they're really good, but, like, more like just a tournament team, Houston-type team. I think that reflects on, you know, Memphis has the better opportunity to have like a special year as compared to Houston, because Houston is, you know, they return Marcus Sasser, they got Fabian White back, they're expecting the kid who hit the half court shot.
Tremont, he's going to step up this year.
He'll make a leap, and then they got I think a Texas Tech transfer who's probably going to start, but it's, you know, there's no top end talent like Quentin Grimes on that team this year.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I think, for example, if you got a win bet right now, like, because we were sort of looking at this, like, where does Vegas sort of see Memphis fitting in, right? Memphis has a win total of 31. Now, this includes postseason. Mm-hmm. Memphis has a 31 win total. Houston's at 27, which I think goes to your point of the ceiling. What do you make of 31? I'm giving you.
Is that with postseason?
Yeah, I'm giving you. Okay, so it's minus 105. So I'm giving you $105. Okay, so
I don't gamble on sports.
So to make $100, you got to pick over under on 31, including postseason.
And is it done? It's 30 in the regular season. They're not adding another bye game. That would matter in this.
I mean, yeah. It is October friggin'
14th. Now, to be fair, he can add games whenever. Like, he can add one in the middle of the year. We've seen that last year. And
that's right. You could go into the season and just add it.
I mean, they did that last year. It's going to be either a bye game or like. At this point, like, it could even be like he could add like a Division Two, if like
so
a Division
still
Two
up in
game
the air.
Or
that's
something.
Still up in the air. Because I hadn't followed. I knew you'd follow it maybe a little more closely. He hadn't said, no, we're sticking to 30. He said,
like, the times he's been asked about it, the most recent time and every time he's been asked about it, he said that, you know, we're looking to add something.
Right. That's what I thought.
They just haven't
done it.
That
won't matter on 31 because you could be doing 28-3.
I'm
going to
assume they do because they got this home date thing. You know, they make money off these games. Like, why would you not try add 100%. Another game?
Why would somebody not take money to come take that beating?
Yeah.
There's plenty of them out there.
It's probably just a date thing. Probably someone they had lined up pulled out late of the, you know, like couldn't do it for whatever reason. And they got, now at this late juncture, it's hard. But
right.
You will probably find a school to take your $80,000.
So let's assume they have 31 regular season games then if you're there.
I'm going to say over. It'll be over with the postseason. With the postseason. Because if you think about it, let's say they get to, let's say they go 27-4. And that feels like, you know, it could be conservative almost if you listen to some people's expectation.
Fair.
But let's say they go 27-4. But let's say they're the best team in the league. They go out and win three games in the conference tournament.
That's 30.
To win the conference tournament. and then you're probably looking at being like a 2 or 3 seed, so you're going to win the first round game.
That was the
31.
Bet. Can you get to the second round? That's
like,
the bet.
It's, basically, it's does is Memphis a Sweet 16 team? That's what you're betting on.
Yeah, and I would probably, you know, I mean, 105. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's great. You're getting great money back on that.
Well, 105 to 100, pretty good. That's about as good as it gets.
Okay,
you know. But I mean, that's a tough bet to make though, because here's the other piece.
The IRP.
They could that, and they could go. I mean, they could go 26-5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
Right. So you go 26-5, then you're 29-5, assuming
you win the conference tournament.
Well, then you got to get to the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like there's only so many opportunities.
Yeah.
If you stump your toe, which like, look, 26-5 is still an unbelievable regular season.
27-4 would mean you probably lost one
of Alabama and Tennessee.
You probably lost one non-conference
split game. Split one in Barclays, right?
Or you lost a second non-conference game that you didn't expect.
Well, because you're playing Virginia Tech, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were a tournament team last year.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, you're playing at Ole Miss and at Georgia. Like, at Georgia, they're going to play in – At Ole Miss, at Georgia, they're going to play in on a road environment for the first time. I'm not saying they'll be favored in those games, but, like, crazier things have happened.
It's hard to bet on that total because there are just not as many opportunities. Like, I think Memphis is going to be a second weekend team, but I can't sit here and guarantee you that path into the second weekend is going to be very smooth.
Well, did you hear Penny with Gary yesterday? I thought, and he said it multiple times now. Like, he's not talking about like winning a national championship. He's like, I want to get to the NCAA tournament. I have not been to the NCAA tournament. I want to get to the NCAA tournament, and then when we get there, I like my team's chances when we get there. But I just want to get to the NCAA tournament.
Makes sense to me.
That's how I would think about it if I was a fan. Like, ultimately, with this much talent, if whether you're an 8 seed, a 6 seed, a 3 seed, a 2 seed, a 1 seed, you're gonna have a really nice team going into the NCAA tournament. You're gonna have more talent than just about anyone you face in that first weekend.
That's true.
There's a decent chance, unless you're an 8 seed and you run up to Gonzaga in the second round.
I
think that's Penny smartly adjusting over the years.
Oh, he's learned that.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, that wasn't the same guy that came in here and when he first started. It was give it all to me. We're gonna go win a national championship, or I have the talent to do that. That's a guy who's kind of watched what Kelvin Sampson's doing.
Yeah. Well, he's just been through a lot the last 3 years.
And he's that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing him adjust and adapt. That's what it, you know, that's what makes it. I'm more encouraged by that. And I've seen a Penny that's changed and made adjustments.
Oh yeah. No,
I think that growth.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think he's made the only thing left for him to do is not even put a good product on the floor. It's just making the NCAA tournament is all that's really left for him to kind of prove that, like, I am a promising young coach. He already is a promising young coach, but I'm a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that's really left for him to do.
It's really been the minor
details. He's got everything
else. The turnovers and the free, because you're coaching the hell out of some defense, right? Yeah. You got enough players to run a decent offense, and it's just those finer things like turnovers and free throws that have at least started last year.
And now it looks like he's got a team and a system, a philosophy that feels like it's the best of both worlds. It's like his bravado and his sort of presence and his personality and sort of the thoughts of grandeur that he has for this program. But also, it feels like there is more of a humility underneath it all because they have gotten humbled at times the last 3 years. And you know, they haven't been. He's 1-5 against Kelvin Sampson, in his career. So, you know, they clearly have the most talent in the league. And this is the year where I think they put it all together, where it's not just, you know, it's the coaching, the talent, the results, it all comes together. There is the whole IRP thing looming over it, but, you know, I'm hopeful that it'll wait till
it's gonna
after
get
the season. I'm hopeful.
Pushed down.
I'm hopeful
enough for them. You were there, like us, at Pro Day. You saw them get up and down there. So, is there anything in particular you're looking forward to seeing tonight at Madness? That since you've already sort of seen the up and down of this team,
that was like the madness for me, like seeing them.
Yeah, like tonight. I mean, when they're gonna scrimmage tonight, but these these environments.
We probably saw the better scrimmage, to be honest, right in front of class, where they're really trying to put on
these things break. You know, everyone gets a chance to dunk it. It's like an all-star game rather than like a scrimmage. So, what I'm looking forward to tonight is it's the first time since the end of the 2019-20 season where 10,000, whatever, that like Tiger fans, Tiger basketball fans are back together in the same place. There's going to be a lot of people who are back at FedEx Forum tonight for the first time for a Tiger basketball game in a long time. And it's, you know, it's a tradition in this city. It's a hallmark of this city's sports history. This is the biggest thing in town traditionally. And tonight, once again, it'll be the biggest thing in town again, you know? And so I think that's what's going to be fun. We've had the return of Grizzlies fans last year in the playoffs en masse. We've had the return of Tiger football fans en masse at the, you know, these first, especially that Mississippi State game and the spring game last year. And this is Tiger basketball's, the return of fans en masse, FedEx Forum mostly full. And it'll be a fun time. And everyone, you know, I think everyone's, you know, I know the IRP thing came out earlier this week and it felt like it dampened things a little bit, but I think there's still just a genuine excitement about what's possible because the over-under is 31 for this team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like there's just genuine excitement that, you know, this is the start of something special. And I think tonight will be special because we haven't been able to experience an environment like that revolving around Tiger basketball in a while.
And also nobody has to be vaccinated or provide a COVID test yet.
Yeah.
This is the last hurrah.
I'm sure some people will be happy about that.
Let me ask you this. If there was a real fear around the program that the IRP, and we know Penny's gone back and forth and that the president's gone back and forth, that it was going to come down this season, do you think we would have seen it by now? You know how positive they've been, and you're right. I mean, I guess in the last week, at least from the outside looking in, there's been a little bit of a dampening on things because it's like, oh, this could actually hit this year, maybe not. But do you think we would have seen signs of it from Penny, whether it's or from leaking out somewhere else, if there was a real fear over there that this thing's could possibly hit this season?
See, I get the sense they don't
know. Could they hide that fear if they really thought?
I get the sense.
And we not know it?
I get the sense they don't know the final timeline.
But don't
yet.
You think they have an idea of, right, the timeline?
Yeah, like I don't think they know if it's going to come down.
Sure.
A month from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now. Like I think this whole process, because it's so new and there's been no case that's gone to the finish line. Like,
well, if you thought it was going to come down a month from now, it seems to me like you'd have that sort of fear I'm asking about.
Yeah,
like,
well, I don't think it's going to come down when you hear that they still have to hold a hearing, and then they'll still have to figure out. You know, like there, it feels like there are. I when that thing first came out, I go, man, this thing's gonna.
I was down at first.
This thing's gonna come out in like the next month.
Language and it was. Oh,
but then when Munns was looking at the NC State stuff, and you saw NC State as this other step, and then you called IRP and they say, yeah, there's still another step here.
Well,
you
know,
everyone's got to have a hearing at some point. You know, because it's almost like, think of it as like the NCAA, unfortunately, at times doesn't operate like the legal system. But like, you know, even if the preliminary hearings and the discovery makes it clear to, like in the O.J. Simpson case, you know, like most people think that guy was guilty. But then when you got to trial, you had a good lawyer,
right?
You know? And the other side had a bad lawyer, and like in the courtroom drama, OJ was able to get off. Like, I'm not saying Memphis is going to get off scot-free, but maybe Memphis has someone on their side who can, you know, muddle things up or whatever.
Right.
And make it
they
so.
They did not have that with the Derrick Rose case, by the way.
And then I also think I was joking on the show. Like, I think what they're doing when you look at the kind of the docket of things that have happened in the IRP case, I think they're operating, you know, whereas I think the decision to play Wiseman was stupid, I think what they're doing here where they're like, you know, every time they're filing, asking for, you know, an extension, whatever, and dragging their feet. And it's funny, I was looking through all the dockets of all the six cases, and it Memphis and LSU are the schools that are, like, if you look at kind of the blow-by-blow of what's happening in those cases, they're the ones filing the most, you know, reconsideration,
extension.
Did North
Carolina do this with the athletic investigation in terms of the academics and kick it, keep kicking it down the can?
The NC State case is about Dennis Smith. Is about Dennis Smith. He played in 2016-17. He's on his fourth NBA team. I joked on the show yesterday. I'd be like, if you look at the NC State case, there before we even get to the hearing, there's also like a pre-hearing stage where they like figure out the guidelines and protocol for the hearing. And I'd be like arguing about every little detail, like what they're serving for breakfast, how long the bathroom breaks are. I'd be like, we need a week to deliberate on this. I'm sorry, blue pens instead of black pens. I'd be doing everything I can to just drag my heels on this. And I am hopeful that with that, we can at least get past this season.
Exactly. I think I feel better about it now. And I'll be honest with you, it was the months bringing up the NC State timeline. Because you still got to have the hearing.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying it's going to go exactly like NC State's, which they got there. And there's...
But you know there's some steps.
Yes.
There's still some steps to go. This thing isn't right on top of you.
No. And we're gonna have a better sense from here on out. Because I thought the other thing that was interesting from that article Jason did over at commercialappeal.com is that the IRP now is saying at the beginning of each month... They are going to be updating those timelines. So we'll know pretty quickly when they have a hearing. You know, it'll be at most 3 or 4 weeks after the fact that we'll learn they've had that hearing or it's been scheduled or whatever.
Yeah. Now, John told me he found some of your emails in this Washington football team.
Yes.
650,000 emails. Apparently, you're in there cursing them out.
Yes.
Should we get all of the emails, Mark? Should the emails be released by the NFL?
Of course we should.
So it doesn't look so selective?
Yes.
With the group?
The problem is it probably implicates a lot of people. Now, my one concern is, like, in D.C., everyone, this investigation was, it inspired a lot of hope because people in D.C. hate Dan Snyder.
They
want to get rid of him.
Right.
And here's the problem that's come out. So Dan Snyder, like, the hope is Washington fans don't want, I don't think necessarily they want all the dirty laundry out as much as whatever dirty laundry would push out Dan Snyder. That's what
they want.
And what's interesting, though, it's come out, apparently Dan Snyder does not use email. Doesn't have an email address. But, they absolutely
should. He's Teflon Don. You're not going to bring him down.
Yeah, you absolutely
Don't you have to if you're the NFL at this point? Otherwise,
I don't know if they have to. Like the NFL is then.
Here's
the question: are people really going to stop watching NFL Sunday, NFL football because they don't, because they don't release 650,000 emails? No,
of course not. NFL ratings are better than ever, right?
They'll be interested in protecting the other people that are in those emails and what could possibly write.
Here's the reality: if they waited out a week or two, there'll be something else people will be outraged about.
That's true. Urban Meyer will do something else or whatever.
Well, look at Urban Meyer's a perfect example. No one's talking about Urban Meyer this week.
No, and this knocked it off. But Urban will come back and make another, have to apologize again, and he'll take all the heat off the NFL.
Do I think they should? Yeah, just like I think the NFL should have, seems pretty clear to me the NFL leaked this stuff to get Gruden canned.
Oh, yeah.
And I think given what Gruden said, like the NFL should have been the ones to say this guy's like banned from the league or whatever. Not like kind of let him, force the Raiders to make him, whatever ended up happening there with him resigning. Like, I thought the NFL should have come out and said, this guy's out of the league. So that's also why I don't think they will release the 650,000 emails. They should. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why when they did this, like, people didn't pay attention to it outside of the D.C. market back in, I think it was June or July, when this investigation wrapped up, and people in D.C. were like up in arms because it came out then that the NFL had instructed the investigator to give an oral report rather than write out a report. And it was basically summarized in a one-page thing from the NFL. And then Dan Snyder got fined $10 million and was told he couldn't be the day-to-day, run the day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
So
which
now
is
he
ridiculous.
Well, so now he has.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.